Buddy, you're a boy.
Make a big noise playing in the street.
I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.
Little Stephen's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
It's time for your coolest conversations podcast in Little Stephen's Underground Garage, presented by Hard Rock. This is the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. Joining me today to chat is Tommy Boy, the drummer in Stupidity, the contemporary garage rock band based in Stockholm, Sweden. Their fifth studio album is out now. It's titled Waking Up the Band and features our recent coolest song in the world, On the Run. We'll hear some of that now, followed by my interview with Tommy on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Stephen's Underground Garage.
Tell me, what are you trying to do? Taking me for granted, I've got news for you. Well, I'm so tired of you putting me down. I'm so tired of being pushed around. So now, you got me on the run.
This is the Mighty Manfred with your coolest conversations. And my guest today is Tommy Boy, drummer in Stupidity, the contemporary garage rock band from Stockholm, Sweden. Their new album is Waking Up the Band, and it features our coolest song in the world this week, On the Run. How are you, Tommy?
I'm fine. Here in Stockholm, a bit snowy today, a little bit cold, but inside it's nice, and I just had a cup of tea here, so I'm feeling good. How are you?
Excellent. I'm hanging in there. I was thinking how we had spoken about a year ago. It's not quite a year, but pretty close to a year ago. And then vaccines were, you know, first just becoming readily available. Mm-hmm. And we had hope for the 2021. A year later now, we got the Omicron. How are things in Sweden with the new variant?
Bad. When you talk about it, we have the highest rates in affection by COVID yesterday, I think, since the pandemic started. But then the Omicron, they say it's not as bad as the other ones, but I don't know. But it's still very high rates, and we had in our neighbor countries too, Denmark and Norway, same thing. So it's not really good at the moment. Everyone is very tired, I think, like the same over there, I guess, right now.
Absolutely. So were you able to play any gigs last year?
Yes, in fact, was it 6 or 7 gigs? We played with the band Soraya, which you probably are familiar with.
Right.
On Wicked Cool Records.
Wicked Cool Records, that's right. Yes. Yeah, we know
so
Soraya.
So they were over in Sweden, and we played with some shows around Sweden. I think it was 4 or 5 shows with them. So that, we were lucky. It was just at the time when, you know, they opened up and you can have a standing audience, and they skipped that maximum of 50 people in the room and whatever it was. So it's good.
Yeah, I was seeing something, some article online talking about Sweden, that there was some sort of magical number. If you had fewer than a certain number of people, then you didn't have to show proof of vaccination. But if you had more than a certain number, you had to show proof of vaccination. Is that how it works?
Or something? Yeah. Like, yeah, 50 people was maximum in the room. And I think it's the same thing now. But now everyone has to be seated and has to be, like, you know, like 4 or 5 feet between the chairs and everything. So it's very hard to arrange shows like now if you have a regular club room, because in an arena you can have the distance seats between people, but in a club they have to put out chairs, and so many clubs don't do that, so they close. It's very, very difficult to arrange things, I think, for smaller clubs and pubs right now to do shows. So they stopped right now. Well, I think most clubs in Sweden don't do any shows right now. And I guess it's going to be the same for probably January and February too. That's a guess, but sadly, I think so.
A very frustrating time.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's so crazy.
Well, the first time you and I spoke, that was like in 2017. I'd like you to remind us about like when you first started playing the drums.
Mm-hmm. When I started.
Yeah, when did you start playing the drums?
In the 80s, I started playing with a band called the Pipits.
Mm-hmm.
Soul band with same singer as we have in Stupidity Now, Ernest, in fact. He was in the band too. It was my garage. We call it Garage Soul. It was with, you know, with keyboards and some horns and two singers. And it was a bit mix of soul, garage, and ska music, I guess, at that time.
It very was like cool. Very cool. So was that the first band you had played in, or had you been playing before that?
Yeah, you know, I played in bands, but we didn't do any performances. We just like rehearsed, you know, like garage bands, but not really garage band. I played in one. The ever first band I played with was a band called The Tapes. The Tapes, and we made a vinyl single, which is very hard to get these days. It's very expensive, in fact, if you find it on Discogs. It's a song called Dreamland, which I sing, and it's the only time I ever sang a lead vocal on a song. It was the first time, but it was pretty funny. I mean, we just did that single, and then we broke up, so it was a very short-lived band. But then in the 80s, you know, things started to happen in better, so that's why I joined this band Pipits, and then I played on with some different bands, and then there was some breaks, and you know, then it went on that way. So then I've been playing more or less since that time, so sometimes more, sometimes less, but I always been playing, so that's fun.
Right. Now, when did you actually, how old were you when you actually started playing drums? I mean, were you playing when you were 10?
No. I should say maybe like 17, 18, something.
Oh, okay. So you were a teenager, and did you?
Yeah.
Like before, when your parents, did you? Yeah. Did you?
I just played in school, like, you know, like the music lessons and stuff. You just, you know, playing like jumping jack flash on the really bad instruments and things like that. So that's how it started. But I mean, otherwise, when I bought my own drum kit and started playing, that must have been, you know, like I said, it's like 17, 18 years old, something.
Okay, so you bought your own drum kit, your first proper drum kit.
I did. Yeah.
And you brought that, home, and your parents were like, "Oh, great! Our son's a musician. We think it's wonderful that he's chosen the drums."
No, I lived in an apartment, so I didn't bring it home. I brought it to like the youth club, and we had a room there where we could rehearse at the youth club. So that's where we rehearsed. So it made the personnel there very angry because we played very loud.
Right. Well, your parents were pretty lucky that you had a youth club you could take your drums to, I bet.
Yeah, that's good. Good for them. They didn't have to deal with the neighbors or anything. So it was good to have that youth club in those days because, you know, when we live in like central Stockholm, like I did back then too, most people live in apartments. That you want to get out of town, you live in houses, but it's like every like London or New York or whatever. I mean, it's most apartments in the city center. So,
right. So you mentioned playing in this. Did you call the band with Ernest? Was it the Pipettes? What was
Pipits.
It? The,
yeah,
Pipits. It was a Pipits.
The Pipits. What was some I think it was taken from Gladys Knight and the Pips, you know.
I see,
like, Pips. Pip Hits.
Yeah. And you played with Ernez in that. And then, so that's the number of years. And now with Stupidity, so your first album is Need You Like a Hole in My Head. That's from like 2007. Mm. When exactly did Stupidity form?
2006, something like that. Something, you know, about, we started to get together and we played for, we must have played for about a year or something before we recorded the first album. Because then after that, so, no, we continued making albums and music. So before, I think we just rehearsed and didn't know what was going to happen with anything. It's when you have form a new band, I mean, it's always like you have to get together and get to know each other and so when you think. But I think it was fun and everyone had some song ideas. So it wasn't a big problem to come up with songs really. And then we made that first album and that was fun. And then after that, you know, was it 1 or 2 years before we went to United States after that, because we got lots of airplay was Bill Kelly, I think, was the first DJ who played us in the States, both on WFMU in New Jersey and on the Underground Garage. So, and then we thought, why not go to the United States and play?
Well, exactly. Why not?
Yeah. So then we got the idea, and then after that, we've been there 8 times after that. So, you know, sadly, not the last couple of years, but that's the reason that we all know about why.
Right. We kind of touched on that a little bit. Mm-hmm. So that original lineup, though, changed over last year. You know, switched out both your guitarist and bass player, I guess, replacing members PA and Miss Anna. Mm-hmm. Respectively, with Ulrika on bass and Yame on guitar. Did I say his name right?
Yame.
So, and they're both on the new album, Waking Up the Band. So what kind of unique things or talents do each of them contribute to the group that you haven't had before?
I mean, I think everyone has their own talents, and Janne is a very variated guitar player. He plays in 2 other bands here in Sweden. He plays in a ska band called the Scandalites, which is like a party ska band. He also plays in a more progressive kind of band called Divet, which is more like, you know, very heavy, like, what do you say, progressive rock. So he's very variated in his style, but when he plays with us, I think he adds, you know, cool guitars and had lots of good ideas and song ideas and also a good variation of sound. So, and he's really a nice guy too.
It's always important.
He's a script writer, so he writes scripts for children's movies. And he's very successful. So that's cool too.
That's very important that they have a day job they can fall back on when they're not rocking.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to live on the music, especially, I think, like these days, no one can do it, even if you're a, you know, session musician. And it's very hard, for I think, for everyone right now.
Right.
Or has been the last year. So, Ulrika, her talents is, she's a fantastic bass player. That was a great talent. And she's a multi-musician. She plays saxophone, bass, guitar, some drums. You know, she's very talented when it comes to music. And another talent she has learned, I think, the last couple of years, it's making or directing videos. So she also makes, she has made all our videos, directed them.
Well, very cool. Wow. Now, this, as I recall, is this like the first band she's ever been in? She typically hasn't played in bands.
No, she never played in the band. We worked together. We were workmates, and we needed a new bass player, and we were talking about it. And she just played. You know, she went to a bass school bass course, and she learned the, you know, the basics, and then she practiced at home. And then I said, "You want to try?" And we gave her some songs, some covers to play, and then she showed up, and we said, "Wow, she's great! I mean, really." So yeah, she's very, 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 very talented. And now she has started writing songs too, which is pretty cool. So I think everyone is really contributing with the music. And then we have Mr. Keith Strang too, of course, which is with us when he can. He's a busy man, but when he's not having gigs with, you know, the Fleshtones or Split Squad, he plays with those bands too. So he's a busy guy, but he also contributes with both songs, ideas, and music. So that's pretty cool. So he, you know, he was locked up with us last year when we couldn't do anything. So we tried to do as much as we could musically with him. That's cool.
Right. Well, I was about to ask you about Keith. I mean, last year, you know, he appeared with you on this single Save Me. And you were mentioning, you know, he was there in Sweden. I believe he has a Swedish girlfriend, and then when the lockdown hit, he was already in the country. So how did you guys actually start working together? You knew each other from playing gigs with the Fleshtones with Stupidity, or how, what was the connection to get you guys hooked up?
The connection was, I think the first time that we played, shared a stage together was 2009 at the party. We played with the friends of mine, had his 50th birthday party, and we played at that party, and the Fleshtones did also play. He's also played at that party. So, and then we started, you know, talking about stuff, and he liked the music. And then that was a year or two later when we were doing live shows, both in the States too. We did some shows with the Fleshtones, and he joined us on stage for a couple of songs. Both in the States, and when they came to Sweden, we did the same thing. We did some shows together, and he joined us again. And so we've known him for quite a while. And you know, he loves to play with us, and you know, we love to play with him. He's really a nice guy, and he's really great stage personality too. So I mean, it's really cool to get other influences too. So that, I think that's a great thing when he can play with us. You know, so. So we can't depend on him, but when he can be with us. And otherwise, we have to do it ourselves, which we try to. And it works to play without him too, so we're not locked with him. But right. I mean, we always enjoy when he can be with us, of course. No, that's cool.
Well, when did you guys start working on this new album, Waking Up the Band?
Started working on it in the fall of 2020, like the last month, we started recording some songs, and we kept recording after Christmas and New Year. About this time, we kept recording in the spring, and then after we recorded, I think we recorded like 16 songs or something, and then we make a choice and we choose these 13 songs that we have on the album now. So I think we're pretty proud that we managed to do that. I mean, to both record and have this album out last year, because I mean, everything's been a bit tough when it comes to
absolutely. Well, I was wondering, did you guys record together in person in the studio? Did you have to do some of this stuff remotely?
You mean the production or the studio?
Yeah, well, I mean, regarding related to the production of the album, recording the album, were you able to just go into a studio and all perform together live, or did people have to go in one at a time?
No, we were there live. Of course, we didn't hug each other all the time, but we were in the same rooms. And then after a while, we started to get our shots too. So I think when we recorded the last sessions, everyone was vaccinated, so that was pretty good. And then a couple of us had COVID too, so make it easy. But now, you know, doesn't make sense anything these days. If you have it or not, you can still get it even if you have been vaccinated. So It's been tough, but I think we managed to do it pretty well. And Keith was with us in the studio too, and he had time for it, so that was cool that he could be doing the recording with us with the album on every song, in fact.
In fact, thinking about, you had mentioned that you know, the newer members and you guys have all been been developing song ideas, and mm-hmm. I was just curious, how is all the material on Waking Up the Band newer songs, or is there any sort of holdover songs from the previous lineup?
I should say that's mainly new songs. This Coolest Song in the World, On the Run, is in fact a pretty old song that Ernie Sider and I did many years back, which he was waking up to be with the song. So he came up with it, and he wanted to. Sometimes you do that with the song, you just lay it somewhere, and you know, to think about maybe now it's the time to record it. So he had the idea, and then the other guy contributed. So I think it came out the way he wanted. I don't know if he forgot it or what happened before, but it's a really cool idea, and we all liked it when we started to recording it too. So was like an old but new song. So there, I think that one was one of those. Otherwise, I think most of the songs are new, and it's especially when many of the songs are contributed, or the ideas coming from the new members too. So it comes up in different shapes. Sometimes it's a guitar riff, or sometimes it's a bass line or drums and bass doing something and getting a beat together, like for the single we released last year called Magical Girl, was that kind of song, which I came up with a drum beat with Ulrika, you know, we played the jamming with the drums and the bass, and we got that together, and then the other one put on the guitars and, you know, singing, and it's like a psychedelic song, so we made some, you know, had some crazy sitar stuff and theremin on it.
Right.
It was you know, first time we did something psychedelic, but that song is on the album too, so it really was really fun to do, and I think it's also fun to make some new steps in the psychedelic world or other stuff too. I mean, it's you shouldn't be afraid to use stuff, you know.
All right, well, thinking some more about the coolest song in the world this week, On the Run, mm-hmm. It sounds like there's some keyboards on the chorus. Am I imagining that, or is there an organ in the mix?
It is keyboards. It's in fact, it's Janne's daughter who's playing the keyboards on that one.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. So is she going to be, you guys going to bring her out, take her out on the road?
Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe. So who's playing a lead on it? Who does the lead section?
You mean
the guitar?
The keyboard, or
no? Who plays the lead guitar on
the lead guitar? Was a hard question. I think it's Janne who does the lead guitar, and both of them are, both Janne and Keith are doing like fills inside the song. So it's I always forget when you see them in the studio, you know who did what, but then after 17 songs, you forget. Who did what? I try to remember who plays drums and all. I think it's me.
Yeah. I'm pretty certain it's you. I've got a suspicion.
Yeah, I think
we'll
so.
Money
I,
on that.
Yeah, you never know, but you know, you never know.
Yeah. Well, you got to be careful. You got to be there at the mix, you know. You never know what's going to happen in the mix.
Yeah,
so you guys did a video for On the Run, and you mentioned Ulrika, you know, working in video and directing things. So did she direct the video for On the Run?
Yes, she made it, the whole video. In fact, it's an half animated video, you can say. It's like this kind of testing dolls, wooden dolls, which you test clothes on. And she had those dolls, and she made them, you know, dance and sing and play guitar, and she just put on our faces on those wooden dolls. So it's a one doll that it's Ernest that is running around Stockholm. So you can see quite a few views from Stockholm and some other places in that video. So that's cool.
Yes. Now, the beginning of the video, though, has got you guys riding on a train.
Yes, we're riding on a train to South Sweden, Malmö, to play with Soraya.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's no fake. We're on a train.
So I noticed, well, at least in my notes, it says that this track On the Run was produced by Keith Strang and Stefan Brandstrom. Mm-hmm. Brandstrom. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, he's the guy who owns the Dust Ward studio in Stockholm where we recorded the album in two. So he's a really nice guy, fantastic producer, and he has fantastic ears and works really fast. I mean, we're pleased to work with him again. He's really great. We all, you know, love him as a guy and a producer. So it's a very cool studio too. He has lots of cool 60s instruments in there, lots of cool guitars and keyboards and amplifiers. So I think you will love it too. Or the Woogles will love it too then.
I bet. Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, so the I believe your album came out in December. I know everything is up in the air with the Omicron. But let's assume that February, March, things have calmed down. Do you have any plans to tour later in the year, perhaps? Or what are you thinking?
Yes, we have plans. We had planned for, you know, some shows in February, but I guess that's, we try to wait maybe another month to see beginning of February. It was late February, so maybe, I don't know if possible. But then we planned some shows with the Cocktail Slippers in both in Norway and Sweden, if it's possible, with talking about it. So maybe that could happen a bit later this spring or not closer to the summer. And then we're also planning to do some shows with Soraya, both in Sweden and the States. But you know, it's always hard for planning. But after probably our all this happening, it's going to be later. But for us to go to the States, we have a plan for October, November this year to go over and play with Soraya in the States too. So hopefully that can work.
Well, that's exciting. So if you're doing shows with them, this would be in the Northeast US or the Midwest, or do you have any idea yet?
I think it's going to be like, now we have our record label is in Boston and they wanted to do some shows around that area. So, you know, it's probably going to be northeast and maybe some shows, you know, a bit cool, but not the West Coast. I don't think there will be time for that. But probably from Boston or a bit further up, and then down to like Washington or something, that area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's going to be fun. I mean, Soraya, we get on really well with them. They're really nice band and really great band too, I think. Easy to get along with them, really fun people. So we had a great time playing with them. So they said, why don't you come over and, you know, play with us? And say, well, yeah, sure, if we can. You know, it'd be really cool.
Well, I look forward to the matchup for the fall. That sounds excellent.
Yeah, we too. I mean, it's been a long time. And now when we got released, when the record company released the album in the States too. So I mean, then it's another reason to go there and meet them. We haven't met them at all. I mean, it's crazy these days. You talk to people on the internet or maybe like this, but you never meet them. So especially when you have a record company in another part of the world. So it's a bit crazy. So hopefully we, you know, can do some more release later this year and some vinyl too. We released this on CD and on digital now, so hopefully we can have some vinyl out later on, but that takes time too. Everything takes time right now.
Well, that's very cool. I look forward to holding the big 12 inches in my hand later in the year.
Are you doing? Are you doing anything yourself?
Well, first, the other song I'd like us to take a listen to today is a title track to the album Waking Up the Band. Mm-hmm. And the drum beat makes me think of Bill Millhiser, kind of a flesh tones beat to that one, at least to me is what it conjures up. Can you tell me about how you guys put that song together and who came up with the ideas initially and who contributed?
Waking Up the Band.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Janne had the original idea for the song, and then we all came up with ideas for it, and the production, I think we were thinking of the 70s, not really the Flesh Tone, but I was thinking of like Susie Quattro, those kind of this kind of music, like 70s glam rock stuff. So I was thinking about all that and those drum beats, like Gary Glitter, Susie Quattro, and Sweet. They all had this like drums and hand claps, or snare or hand claps go together. So it's like a ball of sound. In some way that time. And I think we were thinking about all that, and then suddenly a couple of us just starting to dancing in the studio. I think that's a good sign. It must be a good song. I mean, a good beat with the song. So people started to this is really good. So some more drums, put some more. so we had really fun when we mixed it, because I said put. I want more drums, but they are other ones held me back. So, but it's still, I think it's a cool beat. I think it's a really great song. It tells about how the band was waking up too. It's a true story. So,
That's a true story.
Yeah. It's about stupidity. It's when we woke up the band with the new members.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, with the new members.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. If you listen to the lyrics, you can hear about what was happening. Of course, it's fiction, but it's about waking up a new band and meeting each other and start playing together. That's what it's about. So
right, yeah. And you've made a cool video for that as well, and that's another one of Ulrika's creations.
Yeah, it's a friend of ours who made the filming, because she was in the video so much herself, and we were sleeping in the video, and Jan is waking us up, which we laughed so much we cried, because he was running around with a big pot, like boom boom, just crashing, right. Screaming, and it was really funny to make that video, and then Ulrika directed it and cut it together. But we had another guy who was filming it, a friend of mine called Kenneth, who did a really great job too. So you have to have work together, but I mean, I think it came out, it's really funny, and to make some, it's a bit feeling, it's a bit like some more like madness video or something, I think.
Right And I love the very fun sense to it, and I like that I guess Keith wasn't available, but he still represented very well in the video.
Yeah, we didn't. I think Ulrika asked him first, it's okay that we have a stand-in for you, and it's not a real person, it's a doll. It's one of those dolls that you have in the
mannequin.
In the mannequin, in the shopping window.
But it's him, because it has a T-shirt on and it says Keith.
Yeah, so you can't miss that it's him, and he has a hat, which he sometimes has too, and I think he has a guitar on too when we are doing the playing scenes. So I mean, it's sure it could be him if he was free, but he said it was okay. So I don't have to ask him first before you put in something like that. Yeah, but I think it came out really. I love the video. It's really. Was really funny to make, and I think it's really fun to watch too. So that's cool, because every video is very different.
Right.
And that's nice.
Right. Well, Tommy, I want to thank you for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Yeah, thank you, Manfred. I'm nice to hear from you again. I'll be looking forward to better times.
Absolutely. Again. Absolutely. We're going to take a listen now, though, to the title track to the new album. It's Waking Up the Band from Stupidity. Here in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Waking Up the Band, title track to the new album from Sweden's Stupidity. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Tommy Boy, the group's drummer, for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast. Next time, our guest will be drummer Paul Cook, best known for his work with the Sex Pistols, but his band The Professionals have got a new album out. It's called Snafu, and we'll check it out together next time around on your Coolest Conversations podcast presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.